Well, there's something I've never seen before, the Dow Jones Industrial Average above 19,000. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading today, Tuesday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed above 19,000 for the first time. It's part of this rally after Donald Trump won the presidency. Market players have been seeing some inflation and or growth ahead and selling bonds, helping stock prices. 1 week ago, crude oil was just above $45 a barrel. It has risen more than 6% in the last week to over $48 a barrel in New York today as OPEC gathers for a meeting as we speak. Our Tuesday regular Julie Niemann has a special expertise in energy markets. She's at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
Well, you spend a lot of time following the energy market here. Why is oil? It's down a tad this morning, but it's up at $48, which is a lot more than it was at the end of last week.
Well, OPEC is very busy in Vienna making sausage, and what they're trying to do is to get a production cut. So they're going to grind out this agreement here, but it's going to be a very modest production cut, and there are going to be exemptions all over the place. And bottom line is, winter is coming, and there's no evidence that this is going to be a hugely warmer winter than it has in the past. Demand's going to be up. There's going to be lots of competition for that available currency for heating dollars.
All right. Now, speaking of the fossil fuel industry, the president-elect released his nearly three-minute video last night talking about what he's going to do on day one. And a key part of that is clearing away some regulation that he believes is hindering the fossil fuel industry. Will coal come back as an energy source in America?
It's impossible to reverse that trend. Coal is no longer a competitive fuel. If you take a look at the price of natural gas and the fact that we have huge reserves in that, it is cheaper, it is cleaner, it's easier to manage than coal is. Coal has a lot of other problems in addition to the EPA problems here. And even if Trump tried to undo it, you have the utilities using natural gas because it's an easier supply to manage. Coal pretty much is on the decline. It's not immediate. It's going to take about 10 years, but it's not coming back.
All right. The views of Julie Niemann, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thank you.
You bet.
Campbell's reported higher than expected profits this morning, in part due to cheaper prices for what they put into their soup. And listen to this weird thing Campbell's Soup is doing with our individual biological data and customized eating. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
We've all heard about personalized medicine with treatments designed to match our own DNA. Well, here comes Campbell's with a $32 million investment in the San Francisco-based company called Habit.
Habit looks at you at the cellular level. Your inner workings, the blood that runs through your veins. Your DNA. What makes you? Well, you.
Consumers who sign up will receive a home test kit to measure more than 60 biomarkers. With those results in hand, Habit says it will develop nutrition recommendations based on an individual's unique biology.
Inevitably, when you're trying to sell something, the marketing tends to get way ahead of the science.
That's Dr. David Katz at Yale. Katz says when it comes to personalized nutrition, most of the benefit would come from designing well-balanced meals, regardless of anyone's particular biomarkers. Habit's true test of success will be if they can get enough consumers to eat healthier and turn that desire into profit. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
We've got a whole new season of Codebreaker where radio journalism meets the Twilight Zone. This season, we got one question in mind. Can it save us? Subscribe right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Holiday travel can sometimes mean wearing the same outfit for 3 days. Delta Airlines is trying to reduce these chances by including a microchip in the paper luggage tag. WABE's Tasneem Shama explains.
Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport is the home base for Delta Airlines. And here, you'll find some happy customers, like Cynthia Tooks. She flies once a week to sing with her church choir. She says she loves the new feature.
It says, Cynthia Ann, welcome to Atlanta. And you press the icon, and it shows that my bags were delivered to claim Area 8. I went right to 8, had no problem finding my bag. It was right there.
Delta's the first to use radio frequency tagging system-wide. The tiny microchips in each tag give off radio waves that help Delta track exactly where your bag is.
The technology allows you to get better tracking than the paper-based barcodes, because if the piece of paper gets mushed up or is under the bag or gets ripped, the systems can't scan it as well as it could scan an electronic tag.
That's Jim Peters. He's Chief Technology Officer for the global airline industry group SITA. It estimates airlines could save $3 billion over the next 7 years just by following Delta's lead. And that's exactly what airlines plan to do. By 2018, they anticipate tracking every bag during its entire journey, including when it arrives at its final stop. Airline analyst Ashley Nunez.
Airlines generally don't tend to lose a lot of bags.
In fact, SITA estimates airlines lose about 6 bags per 1,000 passengers.
But when they do, passengers tend to remember it.
Passengers like Khalil Chung. He just landed in Atlanta with his mom on a Delta flight. He remembers 2 other times when different airlines lost his bag.
After that, then I kind of switched to Delta.
But even new technology can't fix everything. Later, Chung finds out his mom's black suitcase is missing. So he uses the app to find out where it is.
It says that it was delivered at Area 3, and it boarded the plane from Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta.
But his mom's suitcase never did show up. Delta says it's still working to find the bag. In Atlanta, I'm Tasneem Shamma for Marketplace.
Back in 2014, a big Swiss bank pleaded guilty to helping U.S. citizens hide money from the IRS. Credit Suisse that day made an additional promise. The bank would henceforth work to report suspicious behavior. Okay, so why didn't Credit Suisse say anything about $200 million in hidden money deposited by a former University of Rochester business professor named Dan Horsky, who pleaded guilty in a tax fraud case this month? Bloomberg News reports that inquiring U.S. regulators want to know. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.